This is the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 74, and my name is DJ Chuang, your host for the conversations here with church leaders about social media. And on this episode, I talk with Justin Wise, who just authored and published a brand new book last week titled The Social Church, The Social Church, A Theology of Digital Communication. And Justin is currently a professional social media strategist based in Des Moines, Iowa. And he has been a guest, and he had been a guest on the Social Media Church just 1 year ago on episode number 33. You can click through the show notes at socialmediachurch.net to listen to the previous episode, which was kind of a prequel to the book. And on this episode, we talk about the book, how the publishing went, some of his latest current thoughts on social media and using it effectively as he's helping not only churches, but also entrepreneurs in the marketplace on using social media effectively. Justin doesn't want anybody to waste their time on social media. He really wants you to use it effectively. And the book is certainly a foundational piece of doing that, helps you to understand why social media is such a part of living out the gospel and communicating it well. On the other side of the conversation, I'll share with you my verbal book review as I just finished reading the book over the weekend. And I trust you'll enjoy this conversation. It's a lively one, and I'll see you on the other side. Here's my conversation with Justin Wise. Welcome back, Justin Wise, who was here with us just over a year ago on episode 33. And today is episode 74, 1 week, exactly 1 week after the launch of his new book that we talked about back then, The Social Church. Welcome, Justin Wise. How are you?
Hey, my man, DJ. Good to be back with you here and the gorgeous people listening and watching.
Yeah, so what's been happening this year? You've put this book together. What kind of adventure was that? I mean, that's kind of old school media, and you know, we're all talking about social media here.
Yeah, I mean, it has been one heck of a year. So the last time that we connected on this show, you know, things were very different. I had just started writing the book, and I was putting some of these thoughts together and laying them all down. And obviously the book has been done for some time now, printed and released. We released it last week. And, you know, writing it is only half the battle. You got to make sure that people know about the book too. So that's kind of where we're at now. It's just making sure that people are aware that, hey, a book like this exists and you should read it.
Well, tell us about the book. So what did it wind up being? Because you had a team of people working on it, and one of the part of the adventure is the author has to work with the editors and really, you know, massage the message to be digestible by normal people.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I worked went through Moody Publishers. They're a fantastic team, the Moody Collective there. You know, there are authors like Jeff Goins, Red Smith, Sarah Cunningham, Scott McClellan, all these amazing people. And the team there was really great to work with, and they helped me just think through what it meant to write a book, you know, because I struggled a lot at first with focus. It's just like, okay, how do I write this book and not have it say 100 million different things? And so they were very, very helpful in helping and winnow that down. And I have to say that, you know, I don't know that this book would have happened without them, or at least it wouldn't have been as, I think, powerful as it turned out to be. And so I loved the process. I get it. I get publishing. I get publishers. I get why it's still a valid choice. I know a lot of people are kind of going the self-publishing route, which is awesome and totally viable. But I had a great experience and would do it again.
Okay, and since we're talking about the mechanics of publishing, let's spend a few minutes there before we talk about the content of the book. Yeah. The book is published in print as a paperback, which actually sold out before launch day, which is amazing. And yeah, then it's also being sold as a Kindle, as an ebook. And so what have the early returns shown in terms of how people are buying and hearing about the book?
The biggest kind of takeaway that I'm hearing from people is, you know, the difference between a why to book and a how to book. So, you know, there's amazing resources out there, specifically even for the church, that deal with the how to. So here's how you use social for your ministry context. Here's how you use it for your church. Here's the granular kind of details. Those books are out there. They're fantastic, amazing resources. But I kind of looked at this opportunity as a chance to speak to the why, because, you know, when I work with churches, I find that that's oftentimes what's missing is, there's people know, like, to ask, what time should we post? How can we optimize our, you know, our news feed, or so people can see us in their news feed? How, you know, can we write content that's specific for Twitter? But I found that people didn't necessarily know how to answer the why behind that. So why are we using social media as a church? Why is it important to communicate the message of the gospel through social media? Why is it important to understand the methods through which a young, under 34 generation typically speaks, communicates, and how they value, or what values they have that dictate their life's decisions? And so you know, spent a lot of time learning from amazing people, Cynthia Ware, Drew Goodmanson, you know, Tony Stewart back in the day, you, DJ, of course, and I'm not just saying that. And so really it was a passion area of mine to say, why is social media important for the church, and make that case? Because if you know the why, it makes the how, I think, way easier.
Yeah, Simon Sinek has done a number of TED Talks and things like that explaining why you got to start with the why.
Yeah.
And then that gives you the fuel and the motivation to push through everything else.
Yeah, I mean, he was a huge that book was a huge influence on my writing process. And the way that he lines it out, I think, is so crystal clear. And of course, he's not speaking from a faith-based perspective, but that methodology of saying like the companies that get the why before anything else, they're typically the ones who are more successful. And so I thought, well, the same dynamic can apply for churches. And so in a lot of ways, I feel like I didn't write this book, but I curated information from people who I really respect and learned from along the way.
Well, let's unpack that a bit more. And give people just enough so that they also want to buy the book. Although you're finding in new media that you can deliver the whole content online, but people will still buy the book.
Yes.
Just to have it in a different format and have one that's easy to share, have discussions around. But the in terms of why, some of the earlier books about church and tech and social media have focused a bit too much on the possibilities. And I think what's unique about your book, you actually go into the historical roots of why we even exist as a church, and then social media flows out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the history of our faith from the Paul's letters, you know, which consist of 2/3 of the New Testament, to Billy Graham and the televangelist crusades. I mean, Christians have always leveraged media, always. It's been a part of our ethos, our culture almost. And, you know, I go into a little bit about how Luther kind of commandeered the printing press, because I grew up Lutheran. You know, Marty Luther is still near and dear to my heart. But he was a guy who got culture, right? So I think one of the reasons why he had so much influence, and why he was his kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, his Christian kind of witness, or his, you know, imprint on Christendom. I think why it's so significant is because he understood culture, and he knew how to speak to the culture. And, you know, you can have the most amazing message in the world, but if you fail to speak the language of a culture, like I don't speak Spanish, but I used to speak Spanish, but I could go, let's say I did speak Spanish. I could go and tell my son, hey son, you know, there's a big, huge package of gummy bears in the kitchen cupboard. They're yours if you want them. Now, my son, he is 4 years old and he doesn't speak Spanish. So he wouldn't be able to understand, like, there's this amazing prize in the kitchen cupboard. And I feel like our churches sometimes fall victim to that, where you know, we have this amazing life-giving, empowering, strengthening, salvific message, and we don't know how to speak to the people in our communities. And so I make the case that social is that kind of, it's that language, and we need to know how to speak it.
Excellent, excellent. But knowing the published book has a page limit, there's probably some things that you wanted to say that didn't quite fit in the book.
Yeah.
So what do you wish you could add, like a bonus chapter, maybe distribute online?
You know, one of the pieces of feedback that I was getting, and I dove into this a little bit, and actually this kind of came out in the publishing process, the editing process, where I had a lot of chapters in there. I think the final chapter count was 12, and there's actually supposed to be 14. I had outlined it to have 14 chapters, and those two chapters basically dealt with the nuts and bolts. So there is one nuts and bolts. I call it the nuts and bolts chapter. It's chapter 10. But there was a few more that were in there, but we just felt like it was trying to cram in too much. And it kind of took the focus off of what the main premise was. And so those books were basically just like application. Like, how do you apply all this? But, you know, truthfully, I feel like that could be a whole other book just of case studies. I mean, you look at, you know, the stuff that Gary Vaynerchuk has been doing, and he's been a huge influence on me. And I just got done reading Jab, 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 Right Hook. And that type of book, I feel like, could have a really strong presence in the church space, where, you know, he goes through and he takes screen caps of, you know, different brands and says, this is what they did good, this is what they did not so good, here's how they could improve, here are the platforms you need to be aware of. And so I could easily see, whether it's a bonus chapter or even another book of, hey, here's some great examples of, and actually I reference your list a lot when I'm referring people like to good examples. So you have that list of Facebook, churches on Facebook. And I think it's the largest churches on Facebook. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, large doesn't always necessarily mean effective content, but, you know, they didn't get that way by accident. So I refer to people that list a lot, but I would love to go through and do a case study of like, hey, here's the top 100 churches. Let's look at their Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and maybe, you know, a third network, and see examples of what they do well and what could be done better. But I kind of feel like people would get upset.
Yes, in the church world, we do have some sensitivities and egos on the line.
Well, I mean, it's like, hey, let's take out the reality. Like, people will want to say things like, well, God inspired me to, I mean, I've heard every excuse in the book. It's like, well, God led us to create this content, or, you know, we're just waiting on God for a plan to update our Facebook page. And, you know, people might hear that and scoff, but I wish I was lying when I said that. I've actually heard those things told to me, where like the God card is thrown, and it's like, well, we're just waiting on the Lord to update our Twitter page. Well, I don't think it works like that. And so I do want to call some churches on the carpet to say, listen, you are intentional about every other aspect of your church life. You're intentional about finding volunteers. You're intentional about taking offering. You're intentional about making sure that, you know, the youth ministry has chaperones on their trips. You're intentional about building campaigns. It is time to be just as intentional with our social media content. It is that important, I believe. And so that comes sometimes with a cost of saying, you know what, guys, this is not meant to, you know, shame you or intentionally upset you. But here is where there are some opportunities for your content. And when churches can get comfortable hearing that, I mean, we have ministry, consultants, we have generosity consultants, we have, you know, building campaign consultants. And I think the same level of
professionalism.
Yeah, professionalism. Yep. Intentionality.
Yeah.
I think needs to go into our social. Now, that also happens to what I do for a living. But the reason why it's what I do for a living is because I truly believe that this is a skill set that God has given me to resource and to help the church move its cause forward more effectively.
Great. And it's certainly my prayer and hope that your book will open that door once people understand just how valuable and how important social media is, that they can come to you for the training and the coaching and the consulting to be that much more intentional and that much more strategic
yes.
with their communications.
Well, here's one last thing I'll say about that. Here's how I know I'm on the right track. Like, I hate selling. I don't know that there's a single person out there who would say, man, I take that back. I don't like selling. Some people love it, but I don't like doing it. Now, with this content, with this book, with the stuff that we're doing associated with the book, I have zero problems telling people that they need to read this book. They need to, whether it's me or somebody else, invest in saying, we're going to take our social media just as serious as we take every other piece of communication that we do, just as serious as we take our parking lot structure, because it is, I believe, fundamental to the success of churches going forward. So I have no problems in saying, yes, buy this book, because it's going to help you tell the gospel story better in your local context. That's why I have no problem saying that at all.
Well said. I'm glad I caught that soundbite.
And yes,
that's a soundbite that needs to be like a 10-second YouTube video that goes viral.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is being recorded on Google Plus Hangout on Air, so I'll splice that segment. Put it out there. I think that's better than your little promo video that you shot in New York City.
Hey, it was freezing cold there, man. It was so cold. And you know, truthfully, that did not hit me until I saw how first the launch team responded to the book. So I gave the launch team a copy about a month before launch date, and they read it. And you know, I had not really spent time with the book for 4 or 5 months. And when I saw how other people responded to it, they were saying, man, this is going to help our church. This is going to help me speak to my pastor, my senior pastor, better about social media. We've already got ideas. This is the perfect book to bridge the how-to and kind of the ideas that we have. That's when I realized, like, wow, this is going to be much more impactful than I had thought. So I have no problem saying that at all.
The book is going to be a valuable resource for many churches, and you believe in this so much that you're putting your livelihood on the line for this.
Yeah.
And you're trusting God to provide through not just working with churches, but also entrepreneurs and people in the society at large. You've had opportunities to work with a few significant churches. But as you're venturing into this new season of life and work, what are you discovering that the church has engaged well, and then what you're learning from the society that could be applied to the church?
Yeah, I mean, that is a fantastic question, because my methodology breaks down like this. We do have some for-profit and even some non-profit, non-faith-based nonprofits, I guess is what I'm saying. And, you know, for businesses, let's just take businesses, for instance, their goal, their purpose behind social is very clear cut. They know exactly what they want to get from social, and it's typically more sales, more widgets sold, more money. Now, there are lots of different, you know, ways that you can contribute to that goal using social. But I find that their purpose going into a working relationship is very clear. And because of that, you know, you're able to kind of push a little bit farther, push a little bit harder, try out some new things, experiment quicker. And so I'm able to take those kind of test cases and extrapolate those onto churches. Now, the sticky part with churches is that a lot of churches are just kind of unclear on what they're supposed to be measuring with social media. Like, what is the end goal for social media in churches? And, you know, oftentimes when I ask that question, I'll get responses like, well, we want to grow our Facebook page. We want to get more likes, retweets, whatever. And that's one part of it. And I would even say it's the smaller part. And it's good that churches are at least starting to think like, okay, we need to be intentional about growing our audience. But I find the more exciting part of social, and where I think there's a lot of opportunity for churches, is to start asking, how can we influence people who are a part of our social media community to take action somewhere? That's the part that is interesting to me, and where I think the church has the most opportunity to grow, because you can look at that question and say, you know, we have 1,000 people, let's say, on our Facebook page. Now, how can we influence those 1,000 people, or half those people, or even a quarter of those people, to take action today in some capacity? Maybe it's to volunteer for an event. Maybe it's to, you know, buy their coworker a lunch today, or maybe it's to donate to the offering or a building fund, or maybe it's, you know, whatever it is. It's realizing that we have an amazing opportunity as churches in connecting and convening our people online, and then influencing them in some capacity to take action. And so that's where I see, frankly, the biggest area of growth and opportunity for churches. It's like, I think they're getting in the mindset now of, okay, we need to take this seriously, at least starting to say that. Maybe they don't, you know, their actions don't reflect that, but they're at least thinking that way. And so I think the next area of opportunity is going to be, great, we've got all these people here, now what, right? And that's a question that I hope to help folks answer.
Yeah, and there's an art and science to all of that, because you don't want to just keep saying call to action, call to action, call to action. There's a mix of engagement and action. What's a good rule of thumb for that?
So, I mean, I've heard anything from, you know, Chris Brogan's got a rule out there. I think Tim Ferriss has a rule out there.
Yeah, but I want to know Justin Wise's rule.
Well, so my rule is pretty simple. It breaks down like this. You know, you have to have, it's the 80-20. It's the good old Pareto principle. I find that just happens to be a really persistent guiding principle throughout my life. And so, you know, when I was at Monk, we found this out actually through a survey that we did internally. The more content a church puts out that is self-referential, the worse the content does. So the more content focuses on the community or serving the community, the better it does. Now that sounds obvious, but if you look at, I don't know, 8 out of 10 Facebook pages, it is all self-focused. It's all self-referential. Sign up for this, buy that, do this, go here. We need this. Give, give, give. Come here. And it's exhausting. No one wants to hear that all day long. And the way that you can make the ask is by building the 80% into it. And that 80% is 80% of your content has to directly add value or brighten the day of your community. I mean, it's that simple. And that 80% allows you to make the ask the 20% of the time. But if you flip that around, I guarantee you will have a ghost town for your social network. No one will want to come around. It's like, an infomercial, right? There's a reason why infomercials are, you know, the joke of television. It's because they're just completely self-referential, self-serving, and they're kind of, they masquerade as something that's helpful. Well, I find a lot of times that's what church social media presences look like. It's not because people are not trying. It's because if we go back to the original conversation, it's because that why is missing. And I heard something once somebody said something. I think his name was Scott. He's at Unmarketing on Twitter. I can't remember his last name. But he said this, so I want to make sure I give him credit. He said, your organization's social media channels do not exist for you. They exist for the community. And I always thought that struck me, because it put it in such crystal clear terms, like, oh, that's who it's for, right? Like, it's not there for the church. It's there for the people who are a part of the church.
Beautiful.
Well, it's not to say you can't ask for things, but it has to be put in its proper context.
Yeah, the church exists for the community.
Yes.
And we, you know, going into the 21st century, we have to be more and more clear and motivated in doing that.
Well, let me say this. I want to say one last thing about that.
Yeah.
We know this. Like, I was a pastor for almost 7 years. We ministry people know, we know it intuitively that the church is for the people. We talk about it in our staff meetings. We say it from the front. There's an ethos in most church staffs that we are here to serve the people of our congregation. It's embedded into most every church. Now, what happens is that gets lost when we approach social, because social is seen in a lot of churches as a broadcast network. It's not. It's not a free advertising channel. Social media is not a distribution network for our, you know, electronic bulletin board. It is a living, breathing, active engagement channel between the church as a community and community members. That's what social media is for churches.
Excellent. We need to keep pounding at that, because we've got so much history of church as broadcast.
Right.
And we do see large, significant churches using social media as broadcast.
Yes.
And so we need to keep telling the stories in fresh ways and compelling ways of how social is so much more than that.
Well, that's what I tried to lay out in the book, yeah, is to basically say, hey, you know, when we switched from broadcast to social, here are the things that necessarily need to change. People have got their voice back. The people coming to our churches, they have received their voice back, and they're not going to give it up. They're not going to give it up. And to think that it's going to somehow fade back into broadcast. And when we say broadcast, I mean, you and I know what that means, but for people who are listening, they may have no idea. Broadcast is a one-way channel, right, where you can blast people if you have the means to do it. So radio networks, television stations, whatever. But now with social, we all own those channels, so to speak. Some with, you know, differing degrees of influence, but we all have the ability to listen, to share, and to be heard. That's huge. That is huge.
Yeah, revolutionary. I mean, even back in 1997, this is an example I like to use, even a homeless guy in Nashville could blog and have a voice to the world. A homeless guy.
Yep.
Using a kiosk at a public library.
Yeah, I saw a similar story where a guy basically taught himself how to code. A homeless man taught himself how to code, and, you know, his story went viral. And now he's like, it's crazy. He's making apps. It's insane. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, so as we wrap up this conversation, want to make sure we talk about your podcast. You've started podcasting since then at Think Digital.
Yes.
And then with that, you're in process of launching the Think Digital Academy. So talk to those two things.
Yeah. So the podcast, it's not a faith-based podcast. I mean, we don't necessarily we're not talking about atheism or agnosticism or anything like that, but it's not necessarily like, hey, this is how you can apply this for your church. It's there's a couple buckets that I like to kind of focus on. A huge one right now, obviously, is church and social media. And then just also entrepreneurship, because honestly, that's where I'm at right now. That's what I'm doing. And so I like to speak to it. And so Think Digital, the podcast, emerged out of that kind of, hey, this is what I'm learning as I build a social media marketing business. And so I've had some pretty cool guests on there. We've talked about just kind of what works for them, how they got started, you know, being able to ask Gary Vaynerchuk, like, hey, what are some of the biggest mistakes you see people making with social media? We had Amy Porterfield on the show not too long ago. Jeff Goins has been on our show twice. So it's just been a great way for me to connect with the people who I love and connect with and say, tell us your story. Tell me your secrets. And so we've, tried to build a little community around that. And then the reason why I started that was because I launched Think Digital Academy, which is kind of what we've been talking about already, where, you know, we have churches, bloggers, business people, folks who want to, leave their full-time job and start their own business. We teach them how to build their online audience and then learn how to influence that audience to take action. And Jeff Goins told me once, he said, if you have an email list of 10,000 people, that's a six-figure business. And I never forgot that because I was like, yo, I got to get my list up. So it's those types of lessons where if people want to build an online business or expand their profile or sell a book or, you know, whatever.
Extend their ministry in the church context.
Yes, extend their ministry. Learn how to build their church audience online. We give them the principles step by step. We give them the resources to do that in an 8-module course. And, you know, it's pretty simple. Each module has a coaching video. There's some done-for-you resources, like copy and paste worksheets, that type of stuff. And then there's some action steps that we give people to take. So it's one module a month. And we just passed 100 subscribers, which was awesome. We launched in September of 2013 and just passed the 100 mark. So we're thrilled, man. It's been a lot of fun. People are loving the material. And it's just now getting to the point where we're hearing some pretty significant success stories, which is always fun to hear. You know, churches are saying, we went through this material and we hired a 10-hour-a-week social media coordinator. How cool is that? I thought that was awesome. That was one of my favorite stories. Like,
yeah. Can you name that church?
I don't know if I should because I don't. They okay, I don't know funny. If they hired. I just heard that. So well, I don't
you,
know if that.
You worked with a number of significant churches, over 50. The last number I saw.
Yes.
Can you name any names, or are they all like just
no?
Like, Justin's our secret sauce, and we don't want to let people know.
No, I mean.
Just to help people get a sense of, well, who are the people you're working with and helping churches?
Yeah, so probably I'll go with the biggest church that we worked with. And now this is actually when I was still with Monk. But the stuff that we're doing with churches now is similar to what we were doing there was Eaglebrook. Eaglebrook's up in the Twin Cities. I think they have 20,000 people between all their campuses. And that was one of the most fun they're just a great focus group of individuals. Johanna Price, who has she been on the show yet? Johanna?
Not yet, but I will track her down.
For
sure.
She's a firecracker, man. She'd be a great guest on the show. But anyway, she's doing their comm. She's kind of their comm director, comm leader over there. Really had a blast working through a bunch of other stuff, but a lot to do with their social media. So one of the churches that we worked with recently was West Market Street United Methodist Church. They're in downtown Raleigh. They're an older congregation, and they were looking to say, hey, how do we leverage social to connect with a huge college presence in that town, as you well know. I think they said 5 or 6 university-type institutions within their certain mile radius. I had actually kind of forgot. But
yeah, NC State, UNC, Chapel Hill, Duke, and then some smaller ones, yeah.
Look at you just rattling those off.
I lived there 2 years.
There you go. Hey, I couldn't do it if I lived there, but that's a skill. Anyway, so we looked at, hey, how are we going to leverage social? Because, you know, they had all types of people in the church. They had older members. They had young families. They had, you know, youth. And so it was like, how can we develop a plan across these different age ranges to leverage social to grow this church? And so for them, it really took them saying, we need to pick a starting point. We need to pick a focal point because we're trying to hit all these different areas and we're getting nowhere. And so if we can pick one area, one focus area, and then tell the other groups in the church why it's important for us to focus on this group, then we can start getting traction. And so that was actually the church I was talking about. They this is where I don't know the finality of it or where they're at in the process, but they said, listen, we got to get someone 8 to 10 hours a week who can focus on, you know, creating social content for us and setting this strategy and thinking through this stuff on a strategic level. So that was awesome. I love that.
That is awesome. Focus, intentionality, and resource it with a person on point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And we love having you here on the Social Media Church. And for our listeners, this dropped on Monday, February 10th. And you've got a special offer you want to share with our audience for Think Digital Academy?
Yes. If they want to go to, and I'm going to switch this URL up, go to socialchurchbook.com/offer. socialchurchbook.com/offer. And what we'll do is throughout the week until Friday at midnight, we'll have, if people want to sign up for the Academy, they can do that, and we'll take $10 off each module. So you'll save about $80 total. And if you want to check out more information on Think Digital Academy, go to thinkdigital.co. But you can check out the information there. And then if you want, follow up with an offer special for this audience only. How about that? At socialchurchbook.com/offer.
And we'll definitely add a link in the show notes at socialmediachurch.net so that you can take a look at the offer, take a look at the book. I think this will propel your church's social media effectiveness to a whole nother level. So thank you for doing what you're doing. And then I think you also got, as a closing, you also got something for a church certification or something like that.
Yeah, well, now this is highly experimental, and we're just kind of getting the...
Hey, we have an experimental audience right here, so this is the right audience.
Yeah, I mean, I would love it if folks would at least check this out. I really wanted to take the concepts of the book and establish some sort of criteria for some sort of process, right, for social media strategy in churches that churches can go through, whether it's a comm director, executive pastor, someone who's passionate or is an advocate for social media, that they can go through this social media certification process that we're developing and basically get all the details and all the systems in place for setting social media strategy, for having conversations with people who aren't yet on board with social media, for establishing social media ROI. So how do you as a church establish whether or not this is worth the investment? How do you put together a social media strategy plan, editorial calendar? And so we're working with a limited group. And if folks are interested, they can check out SMC, justinwise.net/SMC. And that'll point you to all the details of what the certification course looks like. But we'd love to have interest or taking signups through the month of February, and then we'll start middle of March. So if folks want to check that out, they can do that.
Thank you so much, Justin. You are a gift to the church and to the world. God's richest blessing to you.
Hey, my pleasure, DJ. Thanks for having me.
That was a great conversation with Justin Wise. Thank you for stopping by again, both you as the listener, and thank you to Justin for being the first two-time guest here on the Social Media Church. Again, the show notes for everything that Justin mentioned is at socialmediachurch.net, including links to his Think Digital Academy, his podcast, his book, as well as the certification that he is actually putting together for church leaders called the Social Media Certification Course for Churches. Last I looked, there's only 9 spots left. You'll want to get in on the first round because not only will you be the first round charter members, but you'll get to shape the course that helps the churches all around the country and around the world to be more effective on social media. Now, it was a bit frustrating recording this episode's intro and outro. My GarageBand just crashed, so all the time that I just spent recording on the first round was just gone. And so I'm going to keep my remarks pretty short in hopes that things will record and stick. And to get this episode shipped, sometimes it's more important to get it shipped on time rather than having it perfectly produced. So my quick book review for The Social Church, I finished reading it on my Kindle. So I got the digital edition pre-ordered as soon as I heard the book was released, and actually got it 2 days before launch day. And I'm thrilled that Justin's book is already sold out and it won't be available in print for another 2 or 3 weeks if you're looking to order it online, whether it's christianbooks.com or amazon.com. So don't worry about getting the print edition. Get the digital edition. I mean, that fits the modality for which we're having this topic being unpacked And what I love about Justin's book is it's a personal narrative about how social media has changed his own perception and how he's learned about using social media. He quotes a number of Bible passages for the value of communication, and he gives a good portion of the book unpacking the values of social media and new media based on some presentations from his friends and mine, Cynthia Ware. So she is definitely an expert in new media because she's one of the first person to get a degree in it. So that's been a valuable part of the book. So I really enjoyed reading the book because it's very accessible for the average church leader. And you don't need a dictionary to look up fancy words. And I think it gives you very normal everyday situations where you can understand, boy, you can use social media in your everyday work of ministry and incarnate the gospel in today's culture so that you can be effective in sharing the gospel so that people can respond. I think this book is different than Leonard Sweet's book titled Viral. I think the approach Leonard Sweet tends to take, or at least it comes across this way in terms of its impact, is Leonard Sweet gives you such amazing stories, and it's eloquent, and he's got neat little acronyms for describing new culture, for describing new media culture values, and you wind up in this shock and awe, whereas Justin Wise's book really helps you to understand the why for using social media as a church leader. Now, Justin's book launched the same week as Brandon Cox's book, which is titled Rewired, and we had him on the previous episode of the Social Media Church podcast, episode number 73. And if you had to choose between the two books, and I would never put you into that kind of dilemma, you should just get both of them. But if you had to choose, here's another angle to take at it. The theological background that Justin Wise has is Lutheran, while the theological background for Brandon Cox is Baptist. So if you're in one of those denominations or you have an affinity for one of those perspectives, that can help you decide one way or the other. And if you like the challenge, if you're a Baptist, maybe you need to be reading the Lutheran perspective to have a fresher perspective, not only on new media, but also on a theological lens that helps unpack the value of social media in our new culture today. All right, I hope that's helpful. And you'll go out there, read the book, tweet it out if you read it, and add a review for both Justin's book and Brandon's book. They would sure appreciate it. I think both of these books are a valuable contribution to the church, helping us to understand the why, because we all need motivation to do the hard work of ongoing engagement and producing content that connects and brings value to people that are out there on social media. And I'd love to have you continue the conversation here at Social Media Church. We have conversations on social media, not only on our podcast. So you can connect with us through the various social media channels. All the buttons are there at socialmediachurch.net. We're on Twitter, Social Media Church, SOCMEDIACHURCH. That's as many characters as I could squeeze in there. Twitter has a 15-character limit. And if you're on the go and listening to this on demand, you can definitely call in on your smartphone. The number is 949-354-3216. For your convenience, you can just talk instead of type. I think that's what's nice about voicemail. And be a good social media church listener. Subscribe and add a review on iTunes if you're on the iTunes platform. And there's the background music, which signals the end of this episode. My name is DJ Chuang. Thank you again for listening. Spread the word. Share with others about the Social Media Church podcast. And until next time, we'll stay connected online.